You're listening to Crime Hive, and this is another true crime story of how they were caught. This story takes place in 1982. A man by the name of Lee Hartley was a lieutenant in the U.S. Navy, and he was aboard a carrier warship in the Mediterranean when he fell ill. He was vomiting. Stomach cramps ensued, and then all of a sudden he would feel better, but then he would get sick again, and then better. Eventually, it got so bad that he had to be taken off the ship via helicopter and transported to a Florida hospital where his condition continued to get worse, and doctors weren't sure what was going on. They noticed he had these sores in his mouth and esophagus. And he would end up dying in that hospital on November 18th. Now, every vital organ in his body had significant damage. And the doctor, this was a very savvy doctor, because looking at all these things, he came up with the conclusion that this might be heavy metal poisoning. He requested that there be tests done to see if there was, in fact, some poisoning of some sort. An autopsy would be done and toxicology tests would be done, and they were looking for possible poisons. And sure enough, they found arsenic in his system. Arsenic is really one of the oldest poisons around, and it's found all over. Apparently, it's in the ground, it's in water systems, it's in all types of minerals. It's commonly known in rat poison. It's all over. Arsenic is tasteless and odorless and soluble in liquids, meaning it's easily hidden and can be found in drinks or food, and the person would never know. So that's why that poison has been used for so long. So investigators start looking around, trying to figure out how this lieutenant named Lee Hartley was killed. And they're looking at potentially 4,000 other suspects who were aboard this ship. They started with his bunkmate and they looked all over the ship for possible signs of arsenic, but they couldn't find it. It appeared all evidence of it was gone. And police were trying to figure out if someone was an enemy to Lee Hartley, the victim. He did have a job in which he was to report issues, so disciplinary issues, and that didn't make him very popular, but there was no connection to what may have happened and other people he worked with. So they were stuck with possible motive, and so they start looking at the fact that maybe it was self-harm. They were wondering, because he had just been recently married to a woman named Pamela. They'd been married for just over a year. And so police were thinking, well, maybe he did this to himself and was just trying to get sick enough to get out of the deployment and then be able to go back home to his wife. But police would rule that out as well. They kept digging. And they learned that another shipmate, Lee Hartley, had gotten ill offshore in Spain just 3 months before he died. And so they were trying to figure out what the connection was there. They did learn that Pamela, his wife, had actually flown out and visited and stayed there in Spain with him for about 8 days, and apparently had cooked him breakfast there, in which both men were sick. They did recover from that. So during the autopsy, there were samples of his liver, brain, kidney, lungs, and stomach saved for testing. Arsenic stays longer in fingernails and hair than other parts of the body. This gives forensics the ability to, for example, take a lock of hair. And they can study that and actually use a process called atomic absorption spectroscopy, kind of a crazy name there, but it basically liquefies the hair and it helps to trace the rate of ingestion. And they can actually find out, for example, the last 6 months how much he was exposed to arsenic and how long this had been going on, the spikes, you know, when he was given more of it. They can determine all that from this test. So with these new tests completed, they learned that there was a spike of more arsenic in his system when he was in the hospital in Florida. Well, his wife, Pam, was there at the hospital with him, and she was with him in Spain when it also spiked. So they're seeing these tests, and they're seeing that there is a connection with Pamela seemingly being around the victim each time it spikes. They then learned that Pamela sent off care packages to Hartley. He was consuming them. So she was baking goods, sending him these packages. Well, a few weeks into his deployment, he started getting sick and he'd been consuming these care packages. So investigators start really thinking that, you know, they have this working theory that Pamela's possibly involved. They interview her, but she denies involvement and she takes a polygraph test. They're not usable in court or anything like that, but she passes the polygraph. Police just didn't have anything else to go off at the time. They had their suspicions, but no confession, and the case would go cold. And it would go cold for 13 years until 1995, when investigators wanted to reopen the investigation and try interviewing Pamela again. But they started with other family members and they spoke with Pamela's brother. And apparently her brother said that Pamela had approached him about killing Hartley and that he had refused. So now investigators have this bombshell evidence from her brother, along with the testing from the locks of hair and samples from his tissues and seeing the spikes in the arsenic levels. So they interview Pam again and confront her with this evidence about her brother admitting what he admitted and the testing of the hairs and how it is related to the times that she's been with him. And under this pressure, she breaks down and quickly confesses, just like that. She admitted to police that she killed him and she wanted out of the marriage. But here's the crazy thing. She told police that she didn't want to break his heart by going through a divorce and that she loved him so much that she just couldn't divorce him. And so apparently murder was the only option for her. Police put it together. Again, you know, weeks into his deployment, he's getting sick from the spiked arsenic in the food. He gets sick in Spain because she's there cooking him breakfast with arsenic in it. And then he continues to consume these care packages while on the ship. He gets so sick that he goes to the hospital where she continues in the hospital to administer this arsenic to him while he's dying and ensures that he does die. So pretty heinous there. Pretty cold-hearted to imagine that she's in the hospital with him, watching him die, and she continues to feed the arsenic to him. So one other crazy thing about this, though, is she would be convicted, and somehow she was convicted of only a second-degree murder charge in 1996. Now, she was given 40 years, but somehow she would only serve 16 years, and she's out. I don't know the status of her now. She may still be alive, but she's no longer in prison. But that was how she was caught. Crime Hive.